What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over sin and the devil. Today, we are talking about the next level of wifehood, which is reverence and godliness. So we're in the second part of The Good Wife, and today we'll be talking about reverence and godliness. Last time we talked about a woman having the bare minimum to be a wife, and that is to be submissive, being helpful, specifically in domestic and business support, and to bring glory to her husband. So let's talk about reverence and holiness today. And I'm coming from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 33. It says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." All right. So what does reverence mean? Well, when you look it up in the King James Dictionary, you get three different words here that stand out. It says to regard with fear, mingle with respect and affection. So we got fear, mingle with respect and affection. Now we know what respect is and we know what affection is, but fear, why is fear a part of this? Why would a wife fear her husband? You know, is that right? Well, we know that the Bible talks about men fearing God, that men should fear God. We know about that. And the word reverence here is often used or commanded that men also should reverence God. So what is this fear? Well, first of all, it's not an unhealthy fear. All right. It's not the spirit of fear. The scriptures talk about God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. And you know the rest of the passage. So it's not that. So it's not a contradiction here. But this fear is a woman having an awe for a husband and his power. She fears his disapproval. She can even fear divorce. She fears his physical strength. This is what a wife should fear. She should have a healthy fear of the man's power. It's kind of like a boss. If you fear your boss or the district manager is coming to the, you know, the store, and you have this, you know, it's like, okay, the top guy is coming, you know, let's be on our best behavior. Hopefully our performance and our numbers are up, you know, and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a fear there because if it's not, somebody could lose their job, you know. And so there's a certain level of, you just have a certain mindset when you're dealing with people with power over you. And it needs to be there, because if you didn't fear the district manager or the manager, the boss or whatever, then you wouldn't perform your job properly. Maybe you would be slack. You wouldn't care. And there's consequences for that. So it's important that a wife fear her husband. Okay. Fear his disapproval. A woman should be like, you know what? I'm going to make sure I handle this particular task correctly, because I don't want him to be offended, or I don't want him to disapprove of what I'm doing, you know. So, but it's not something to where a woman's trembling in fear of her life and stuff like that. That's not what we're saying here. But the definition includes the word fear. And so it's mingled with respect and it's mingled with affection. So not only does she have a fear for her husband, but she also respects him. She values him. All right. And then she has affection for him. She likes him. She's warm towards him. And this is what reverence is. And this is what God is calling wives to have for their husbands. You got to have some fear, some respect, and some affection all mixed together. Okay. And like I said, she has an awe. When you talk about fear, she has an awe for her husband, you know. And it's commanded and it's told that women should be this way with their husbands, because some women don't know how to do this, or they don't do it. And there's a reason. It's because they don't understand the man's power. You know, so a woman must be taught that, hey, reverence your husband, respect him, have affection for him, and fear him. And a lot of women today, they don't have any of that. They may have affection, but they don't have respect, and they definitely don't have fear. This gynocentric society has taught women that men are below them. Men are just resources. And if they have a problem with a man, they just call another man and get that man to beat them up or shoot them or kill them. This is, you know, when a wife calls the police on her husband and knowing what's going to happen. They're going to take her side and that's it. No matter if he had nothing to do with it. Women don't fear men today. Women think that they're powerful. And the thing is that the men don't believe that they're strong or they're powerful. And once a man wakes up and sees himself as powerful and strong and that he is the boss and he is the leader and he has the power to, in some cases, discard the woman or withdraw his attention, that's when a woman begins to show some level of reverence. Because she sees, okay, this man knows who he is. He has power. He knows, you know, and she now has some level of fear. She has respect. And then, of course, she has affection if she still likes him. But unfortunately, in the society today, men actually reverence women. And the scriptures never tell a man to reverence a woman, ever in scripture. Men are to reverence God, and women are to reverence men. But never is it told, a man is told to reverence a woman. So a man should never fear his wife. Okay, now the scriptures do talk about a man respecting his wife. We talked about that in how to love your wife as Christ loved the church. So he must value her and respect her. And of course, scriptures talk about the man having affection for his wife as well. So the whole fear part, no. No man should be really fearing a woman. But of course, men today, they tremble in their boots when they deal with women. They're either scared to talk to them. They're scared to interact with them on a one-on-one basis, maybe privately, because they fear that the woman may lie and say that, you know, he did something or sexually harassed me. You know, just the office in businesses today. Men fear women. They fear women's disapproval. They fear divorce. They fear their children being taken away. The women have all the power, basically, at this point, and the men are trembling. And this is the way women should feel about men. But because the men don't have any power, it's been flipped around, basically. And so we got to get away from that. And the more men step up and see themselves for who they are, they see their real power and their strength, and they wake up, and it's really just a deception. Like, gynocentrism is a deception. It's a man has power. A man should be respected. The man is in control. He just needs to release himself from the lies. You know, he needs to understand that he's been lied to about masculinity and what it means to be a man. Get rid of those lies and you'll see that his strength will return. His power and his position will return. And his dealings with women will change. But that's something he has to accept once he gets that information. So that is what reverence is all about. Okay? It's fear mingle with respect and affection. That's what a wife should have for a husband. Men are not supposed to be fearing their wives, but they should be respecting them and they should have affection for them. So that's the first thing here. The second thing here is holiness. Let's talk about that. The scriptures talk about holiness. In Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Let the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." So we are given a definition of what holiness will look like. Now, first of all, the word holiness means to be set apart. All right. Anytime you see that in scriptures, it's to be set apart. When God says he is holy, he's saying he is set apart. He is not like other so-called gods. Okay. And his people are called to be holy. And that means that we are should not be like other people. Like the rest of the world acts a certain way. We shouldn't act like that. And so we're given some rules here for holiness as far as women are concerned. In verse 3, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in a behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." And it goes, verse 4 says, "that they may teach the young women to be sober." Now, before I get into these attributes here of what it looks like to be a holy wife, we see here that if a woman is going to be teaching anything in the church, it should be how to be a good wife. That's it. A woman's ministry, if she ever wants to go into ministry, is going to be teaching women how to be good wives. She's not going to be a pastor. She's not going to be necessarily in the office of prophet. She may have the gift of prophecy, but she's not going to have the office of prophet. But primarily, if she is going to teach, and she's allowed to teach, the scriptures are clear that she ought to be teaching women how to be good wives. That means she must be a wife herself and have been older and have been groomed by a good husband to the point that she can teach younger women how to be good wives. So just to get that out the way, you know, I've talked about this in the past, about women being preachers and teachers and stuff like that. And this is where you can use your gifts and talents if you feel you're led by God to do anything in the church outside of being a wife. And that is to teach other women how to be good wives. That's where it is. But let's get into this. So the good wife, the godly wife, is holy. That means she's not a false accuser. It says here she's not given to much wine. She teaches her good things. And so in verse 4, it says that they may teach the young woman to be sober. So the first thing about a godly wife is that she is sober. She's not a woman that gets drunk. She don't get high and she don't get drunk. She's not given over to wine and drugs and that and stuff like that to where she's all tipsy. And like I said, this will set a woman of God apart from women of the world, because a lot of women in the world, specifically in the gynocentric society today, are drunkards. Because they're trying to be men and they can't handle it. And so they have to use drugs and alcohol to deal with it. And so a lot of women today are drunk. Okay, they're just drunk. They're trying to live life as a man. They're trying to take on all this stress, and they're taking on so much stress, and they're drinking. And a woman of God does not live a life of drunkenness. She doesn't go to the bottle or drugs to deal with life. She is sober. And so that's the first thing here on the list. It says that they teach the young women to love their husbands. Okay, and the word love here is philandrios, which is the love of man. All right. So it's similar to what we talked about last time. You know, it includes affection and things of that nature, being warm to your husband, liking your husband, welcoming to your husband, stuff like that. So a godly woman loves her husband, and she must teach the younger women to love their children. So a holy woman loves her children. Now, why should a woman have to be taught to do that? Well, because they don't know. In some cases, women were not raised. They weren't raised in a home that had healthy parents. And so they'll have to learn. This is how you raise your children. You know, there it is. But a godly woman will know how to love her children and love her husband. And she got it from a woman of God who was older, who did the same thing. Verse 5, it says to be discreet. Now, this is a good one here. Because I look up the word discreet, it says possessed of exercising or showing prudence and self-restraint in speech and behavior. And that's what I want to focus on. Exercising self-restraint in speech and behavior. So a holy woman is discreet, and she exercises self-restraint in speech and behavior. She doesn't just say whatever she wants to say out in public or in private. She doesn't behave in ways that's ghetto and out there, and she maintains her dignity. She does not go off the fly off the handle and act the fool. That's what a godly wife is about. She's discreet. Another definition of discreet is situated so as to attract little notice. Another way of looking at this being discreet is similar to her dress. Is she going out for attention, or does she just want to look beautiful for her husband? Some women, they go out because they just want to draw all this attention to them. Well, that's not a discreet woman. A woman that's beautiful is going to draw attention, but for a woman who to go over the top and to dress in ways that draw all this attention to her, that's a woman that's not discreet. And so that's what holiness is about, being discreet. Another definition of discreet is circumspect. And that word here means to being heedful of circumstances and potential consequences of her behavior, literally looking around on all sides, hence examining carefully all the circumstances that may affect a determination, watchful of all sides, cautious, wary, to look on all sides of, examine carefully, scrutinize. All right. So what she's doing is, before she's acting, she's thinking about how her behavior, her response, what her choices may be, how they're going to affect everybody. She's circumspect. She thinks about stuff before she does stuff. So this is all part of this being discreet, okay? She exercises her self-restraint in speech and her behavior. She doesn't draw a lot of attention to herself. And she thinks about the consequences of her actions before she does them, all right? This is a holy woman, all right? A discreet woman. Another attribute here that we find here is chasteness, okay? To be chaste. So a holy woman is chaste. Now, to be chaste is basically to be a woman that is not out here having sex with everything that moves. Simple as that. I would just kind of say that basically a woman that is not sleeping around and just, you know, not cheating on her husband, not committing adultery, stuff like that. And of course, not flirting with dudes and trying to draw attention from other men that are not her husband and using men for attention and all that kind of stuff. Stuff like that. I mean, that's what I could say that what chastity is. But that's just another attribute of a holy wife. All right. It goes on to say keepers at home. So we talked about that, you know, a wife should be submissive. She should be helpful at home, domestic in particular. And then another word here is good, simply good. Now, we look up good, you'll see that it means to be excellent, to be the best at something. And so a holy wife should be a woman who is good at what she does. She's raising her kids well. She's doing a good job. She's seeking to be the best at what she does as a wife. That's what I see here. And then finally, it says to be obedient to their own husbands. All right. So a holy wife is a wife that is obedient to her husband, who's good at what she does. She's perfected cooking and cleaning and taking care of the kids and pleasing her husband sexually, serving her husband, chaste. And then to be discreet, we talked about that in detail, to love her children, love her husband, be sober. So this is what holiness is all about. And so it says finally in the first five of this passage here, it says that the word of God be not blasphemed. So we need the women of God to be holy so that the word of God is not blasphemed. Because when they see women of God acting like the Lord, being holy, they can't say nothing about God. They can't say nothing about the Bible. They can't say nothing about so-called Christians or Hebrew people or anything of that nature. They can't say that. But when they do act like the world, when they say there's a professing so-called Christian woman or wife walking around and she's not chaste and she's not discreet, she don't know how to take care of her husband or children, she's not a keeper of the home, she's not good at what she does, she's not obedient, she's not sober, she's a drunkard. This is when people look at the word of God. They look at God himself. They look at the Christian church and the Hebrews and anybody professing to be a part of this thing. And they look at it and they blaspheme. You know, the word blaspheme here means to speak of in an irreverent, impious manner, to revile. And revile means to assail with scornful, abusive language, scold, to be scornful, abusive, you know, in their speech toward God. So, and a lot of people today do that. They look at the Christian church, they look at these so-called Christian women, they say, y'all ain't nothing. They talk all kind of mess about it. And it makes God look bad and the word of God and everything that's associated with him because of the behavior of the women. And so it's important that the women of God who claim to be followers of God, children of God, wives, that they act in a way that is holy. And we've just been going over it, you know. So that's what God is calling women to do today. And hopefully that has been helpful to you. Till next time, walk in the Spirit and be blessed.